Welcome to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletcher. Don't forget, you can catch us any old time you like throughout the week, Monday to Friday, however you listen to SEN, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. You can get us on the SEN app wherever and whenever you like is the way to do that. And you can get us whenever you like as well through social media at Joel Fletcher SEN. We are on Twitter, TikTok and Instagram. Now, we started the week on the back of a massive rep round, and we caught up with the great New Zealander, the great Monty Beetham Fletch.
Yeah, we did. We discussed what's going on over there in New Zealand, and also privately, he's helping an ex-teammate. Well, actually, no, yes. he's against his ex-teammate.
He is.
Helping him box in a charity boxing match.
And also, too, privately, Greg from Blacktown was trying to eat his vegetarian pizza, but we interrupted that as well. One of the great calls. He won the IMAR quiz, but he hung around for a bit. Have a listen to this. We stay in New Zealand. Monty Beetham's on the line. G'day, Monty.
Afternoon, boys. Been too long.
Way too long. Monty, I assume you got out there on Saturday afternoon. What a great scene. What a great endorsement for the game. You were there for Sky Sport New Zealand.
Well, in the game, but I tell you what, I knew what to expect from the Matamaitanga side and the crowd, because I've been there to previous games and I've seen it unfold the Red Sea. But it's been like, you know, 3 years since I've been at a game live. So to see it live, to have the energy, to have them singing the hymns, to see the Sipitau, to see the haka going head to head, the emotion, the scenes, it was amazing, boys.
What about, is this a staple play now? Do we see this every year, do you believe? Should we see it every year, New Zealand taking on Tonga?
Well, you've got your origin, right?
Yeah.
And that puts you guys in good stead. There's nothing better than that, especially from your side of Tasman and what you think. But for us, to play our players into form, or to have them playing their black jumper and form some combinations, it's probably the next best thing against Matamaitanga. We've seen the players that they've got on the books and what they can do. The collisions were just severe, mate. It was pretty good. It was a shame there was a bit of rain around, because I think we would have seen a little bit more open running rugby league. But, also from a rugby league point of view, from New Zealand rugby league, if you want to get the money in, you've got to fill the stadium. You've got to put bums on seats. And no one does that better than this Matamaitanga side. The houses are covered in red. Flags everywhere in the cars past the game, mate. All through Otahuhu as well. It's they take over. And it's all in good spirits too, man.
I was just saying to Joel before, that's the best New Zealand team I've seen. Do you agree?
It's a very good side, Fletch. It's a very good side. And, you know, when it came out, everyone said, look, you're picking on form straight away. You know, across the spine that you had, you're down on terms of experience, because there was only like 15 tests amongst all four of them. And obviously Dylan Brown was debuting, but he didn't overplay his hand. He did what he needed to do well. Looked like he'd been there for a very long time. Brandon Smith, we've seen the passion he plays with, and we know he's one of the best hookers in the game. So it was really good to see. And of course, Jerome Hughes. But Joey Manu, I mean, what's happening there?
Oh.
Everyone knows him as a strike centre out on the edge. But as I've said previously, and as we were hoping, we knew he could be that strike that could be anywhere. He could pop up on the left side of the field, the right side, through the middle, in yardage and good ball. And didn't he do that? He was exceptional, mate. I mean, over 400 metres. Outstanding.
Absolutely, Monty. Now, speaking of stamina, I was watching a 2008 replay of New Zealand's version of Dancing with the Stars, and one Monty Beetham pops up.
Yeah.
Now, you nearly went all the way, Monty. Have you ever thought about going on another reality TV shows?
Like what reality show are you thinking, mate? I mean, that was you know, we made the final. I was in there with a netballer who went on to win it. It was Stefano as well. But, mate, it was fun. I was a lot younger then. I mean, I was 30 years of age. But, you know, it was a bit of fun. There was moments when it was bloody scary, I tell you that. But, you know, when you're dancing, when you're not under the influence of a few drinks, it was a little bit more.
I was about to say, Monty, I've seen you dance up the bourbon and beefsteak, and I was just thinking, you need to get into this professionally. But I'm thinking other things, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Mm.
You'd be very good at that. You're very resourceful, Monty.
I've seen that SAS over there, right?
Oh, there you go. SAS, that's your go.
For me, I'm not tough enough. I mean, that is bloody epic, and you're seeing what they're doing over there. That's amazing, mate. You know, I'd rather have a much cushier job like you, get paid millions, and just have a bit of fun all the time.
Wish I was, Fletch. Monty.
I tell you what he'd be good at, because he's very influential, Monty.
Yes.
Right? Everyone wants him. You know, he's helping out with the boxing, and he'd be good at, you know, those shows, those mid-morning shows where they sell stuff.
Oh, yes, like an infomercial.
Yeah. I reckon he'd be good at that. Yeah, would you ever do that, Monty?
Are you guys stitching me out there, mate? Yes, you are. You are.
I wouldn't
the shopping
be.
Shopping channel.
That's it, Monty. That is it. Tell us a bit about that. What was your role on that? What did you have to do? Did you have to sell anything?
That good that the shopping channel went bust, so not good enough. But yeah, it was funny because I was training one of the guys who was running it, and was his dream, his vision, and I was like, okay, I love you. Now you're right in front of the camera. Do you want to give this a go? A bit of selling, and you know, selling all sorts of types of stuff, but obviously not enough of it. But yeah, I mean, you try these things, you have a bit of fun, and you test yourself. And geez, at times it was a bit scary as well. But yeah, geez, man.
What was
last time I take your calls, fellas?
Now, Monty, tell us about Warangi Kupu is having a fight. You helping him out? Who's he fighting?
He's fighting Kevin Mialamu. Oh, yes. So I'm actually helping Kevin Mialamu. It's the old league versus rugby, right?
Oh, okay.
And what happened, Fletch, was I was going to train Kevin for a fight, and we were thinking about Paul Gallen, and that was potentially going to be the fight, but that one fell through. And so Dean Nonan goes, oh, let's put on an event here in New Zealand, let's bring back the Fight for Life. And so sure enough, and I thought, okay, well, I'm training Kevin, so let's go out there and find an opponent. It won't be hard to find a league player because they're all tough buggers. You know, normally it's hard finding the rugby boys. But every time we'd ask, people weren't interested. So I got a hold of Corpu, and I used to play league alongside Corpu since under 19, a very long time ago, and said, bro, are you in? It's not personal. Let's have a go. And, he accepted the challenge from his past captain and old teammate. And here we go. And look, he's in sensational condition, mate. He looks like he's 22 in terms of physique. He's got a 12-pack and everything else. I hate the bloke.
Well, if you're looking for a rugby international to fight, I know Jeff Wilson's up for it.
Oh.
if you want to knock on his door, because we were talking to him last week, he was filling in for Beaver. Mm. And he is very keen. So knock on Jeffy Wilson's door.
No, but Fletch, he's like you. He's making too much money on TV. He won't even hurt that face.
You there, Greg?
Thank God. Yeah, sure.
Are you preoccupied, Greg?
Yeah, what's happening, Greg?
Are you celebrating your victory?
About to have a pizza on this cold night. That's all. Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, good on you. What sort of pizza are you getting into?
For my pizza, I just have vegetarian for some reason. Oh, but it doesn't mean I am one. But
no. Yeah, and what sort of sauce? What's the base?
No aioli sauce on it. Just nice and plain.
Nice and plain. Yeah. So plain. And what sort of veggies are on this vegetarian pizza?
Sorry?
What sort of vegetables are on this pizza?
Pineapple, capsicum. Mushroom.
Oh, yes.
Cheese. Oh, yeah. That'll do me. That'll go on.
So,
is it homemade, Grego?
No, from the Pizza Hut.
Oh, Pizza
Hut. You go the fat crust or the little crust?
No, just a thin crust, yeah.
Well, so you said, and there's anything wrong with that, you said, but it doesn't mean I am one, vegetarian. Why do you opt not to have the meat on your pizza?
I don't know. Just some reason I've grown with and everything, but I just have meat from the deli and that up the street. Everything's sweet. Everything. All good. Okay.
And is it getting delivered or you go pick it up?
Nah, pick it up. Yeah, go for a walk. Yeah.
And when you get up there, are you getting any sides? Is there any galo bread? Is there any Pepsi?
Can you not tell by the very abbreviated
sometimes I have a garlic bread if I'm hungry enough.
What about tonight? But, are you having
they name.
Hey, Greg, can I just get into your mind for a second? Because I'm hearing it this way. Brian's peppering you with questions, and I am a little bit too. But you're looking at this pizza right now, and you just want to get rid of us buffoons so you can dive into this pizza. Is that fairly accurate?
Excellent. 100%.
Hey, Grego, can we go to the break while you're opening it? And I just want to listen. Hold the phone next to it so I can hear you just chomping on that mushroom. Go on, hold the phone next. Put on speaker. Put it on speaker. I want to hear you eat.
No. I don't have a speaker, just on a normal phone.
That's all right. I'll just hold the phone next to the pineapple. I want to hear the crunch.
Nah.
Come on, Grego. Grego. He's eating it. Oh, we're going to a break with Greg.
Hey, Greg, the good news, you get to do it again on Friday.
That's it, boys. Okay. Have a good night. All right.
Here we go. Oh, his office.
Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. There's a real Perth theme this particular week. Speaking of Perth, somebody left with a big, big win, didn't they? Your New great South friend, your Wales. Great coach.
Yes. Well, you picked it. You are the oracle. You did say 13 plus, and you were very confident. Brad Fittler was confident, but we asked him about what happens with Latrell coming back into team calculations.
And also, too, speaking about calculations, there was a little calculation about 1971 where Dekeshi, came up with the karaoke, Brian. Have a listen to this. Brad Fittler joins us. G'day, Bradley. Congratulations.
Thanks, Joel. Hey, Brian.
Hello, Bradley. How are you, mate? Congratulations. What's going on now in your life, just as we speak? Because you would have come up with something a bit bizarre today. What have you done?
Today I went for a walk with Mark Hughes and about 100 or so people from NRL down to the Opera House. It was the launch of their three-day walk from Sydney to Newcastle. So they're obviously selling beanies, and I think Boozy's raising something like another $3 million. Mm. He does pretty well. So I was down there this morning. Then I just actually walked the dog, Brian.
A lot of walking today, Brad.
Fresh air.
Do you wear any of those Fitbits or something to count your steps?
No. No Fitbits, no rings, no watches, no deodorant, nothing. Nothing fake, Brian.
Nah. Hang on. Deodorant's not fake. You know, like you can get stuff. You can get the crystal eyes ones that doesn't harm the environment.
Can you?
Yeah.
All right, I'll get that. I'll get that.
Next time you're up there in Nimbin, grab one off the side of the road. They're good.
Good.
What was the key deciding factor that you saw about Jake? I loved in the press conference after Origin 1 how he was waxing lyrically about how well those players played in front of him. What was the key thing that you liked about him?
Watching his game, I think, you know, Manly had some really good games. They're mighty unlucky against the Cowboys. They had them for 70-odd minutes, and I thought he was fantastic in that game. And they're pretty unlucky against Parramatta as well, and I thought he was great there. And you know, I think sometimes, you know, the role he plays at Manly, he sort of runs a bit less. And I think the front row helped him. I think because he carries the ball in two hands a lot, allowed him to sort of get between defenders. And, he's not that big a body, Jake. So if they get hold of him, they can move him. But, you know, he just seemed to, like he does, you know, he just picked the right decision every time. He, you know, passed when he had to and then dummied when he needed to. He's been doing that, Oregon, the last month.
Now, Freddie, the kid out there on the left edge, Matty Burton. Now, he's started off as a centre at Penrith. You started off at Penrith as a centre. Do you think he and now he's playing 5'8" for the Dogs. Do you think his best position is centre, or do you think he should persevere with playing 6 at the Dogs?
Well, if you followed my career, he'd end up in lock.
Yes, well, that was when you were Fat Freddy. That was after 95. Big fat, big hairy legs.
Yeah, big Birdo, he might be. I think when you watch him, he realises he could just about play anywhere. The one thing I was really surprised is, like, you know, Origin, especially the backs, you just got to get back and take your runs. You know, wingers are very good at that, but Critter and Birdo had to do a lot of that. So I was really pleased with his runs back there. He didn't get towed up that often or dragged back. So, you know, that was a big part of his game, and that's a big part of State of Origin, is taking your medicine back there. And I thought that was the best part of his game.
What's he like, Freddie? Because they say he's a very quiet kid.
Yeah, pretty quiet. He was around the card table a lot. I think he's liked by the players. Like, he was always, it was not as though you sort of saw him, you know, just, you know, slipping down from his own room and keeping to himself. He was always with the group or a group of blokes playing cards, and there's a lot of cards. So you'd like it, Brian. They're good camps, mate. But no, he fitted in there. They get on really well, you know, the team. And I think that's, you know, obviously a big part of successful teams is that they get on. And, you know, that means they can also put pressure on themselves when they have to and push each other. So I think, yeah, that worked really well, mate. And he's a good fella. And his family came in, and I saw the family after the game, actually. And, you know, they're just lovely people. You know, and they love the game and love being there. And you can see they're really grateful and appreciative of what was going on. So, good family, mate.
Now, Brad, 1971, and there was a nightclub musician called Daisuke Inoue.
Yes.
He was a Japanese man. A Japanese man. I'm not sure. I'm going to ask you this. Are you familiar with this gentleman? Daisuke Inoue.
No, was he a musician, obviously? Yes.
No, musician. He was, yes. But he invented something that's now quite popular worldwide.
In the 70s.
In the 1971. Karaoke. So he came up with, his own karaoke machine. So my question to you, Brad, what would be your go-to karaoke song?
What would my go-to karaoke song?
Venga Boys?
Trying to think.
Give us a band. Is there a band that comes to mind?
A band. I'm into old music. Yeah. I love Bob Seger. America Ventura Highway's a good song.
Okay. I might play a bit of that for you.
Do you like The Church? I'll tell you my favourite song to sing. Common People by Pulp.
Oh, yes. Who else sang that?
John, give us a verse,
John Young sang that, didn't he? The Common People.
Even in the love of the common people. That one?
Yeah.
No, you're thinking of the wrong song. I took it to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I...
Oh, yeah, I know this.
So it started there.
So in 1971, on this day, a nightclub musician, Daisuke Inoue, independently invented his own karaoke machine, the City of Kobe. His biggest contribution was understanding the difficulty amateurs had in singing pop songs, recording his own versions of popular songs in keys that made them easier for casual singers. So what I've done today, I've done a little bit of research.
Yes.
And the top five most requested karaoke songs worldwide.
Excellent. Can I guess one?
Yes.
Boys all have a guess, or do you know them?
I know, but
okay.
I'll give you the guess that
I'm going to say Piano Man.
Negative.
I was going to say Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline because everyone loves that at the baseball.
Number three.
Yes.
And what I've done with my little friend over here, Gibbo, Gibbo, I have got together and we said, Gibbo, let's give him a taste. Number five.
Yes. Sweet. Let's give it.
Diggy, diggy, diggy. All right, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, give out number four.
Oh.
Well,
Grease.
Duo song.
So, by the way, my man Gibbo over here, this is
good
the...
Good shake. Yeah,
this version is the karaoke music, isn't it, Gibbo?
Sure is, Fletch.
Thank
so
you, mate.
Guys, if you're at home, you can sing along. Maybe no Eagle Rock, but you can still get your pants down if you'd like.
Oh, yeah, follow the bouncing ball. If you're in your car, two, hands on the wheel, 10 to 2. Number three is this.
Good on you, Neil.
Times never seem so good. Okay,
so good. So
number
good.
Two.
Okay,
here we go. Now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. Number two.
Oh, yes.
That's such a drunken one where you're swaying with a couple of people on stage.
But you don't know.
Don't know.
Now, this was a surprise, certainly to me.
Come on.
Certainly to me. Because I thought it'd be Vanilla Ice Baby, but no. And number one most common, it's most requested karaoke song in the world, as by, this is a list from Culture, is this.
Oh, Dancing Queen. Wow.
No,
is it because ABBA is at the top of the list and they go through and go, oh, Dancing Queen, bang.
Yeah, but then Wonderwall, Oasis, they'd be second. I mean, they're not second.
Yeah, but I'm saying is ABBA number one? Because maybe it's a first page special. But remember because they came in the booklets?
But in a way, 1971, he's kicked off, so...
Oh, yeah,
they would just would have hammered it. It's obviously
worth
$10 billion a year, this industry. All right, so then $10 billion.
That's good fun. I like this game.
Yeah. $10 billion. And you've got to breathe through your nose, Dr. Mark. Okay, now this. Now I've done this one. I've done the top five Australian most requested karaoke songs.
Oh, chisel. Kay Shan's got to be right up there.
Brooksy?
Kay Shan, right up there.
I was going to say Horses, Darryl Braithwaite.
Right up there, yes.
Okay. Here we go at number five.
Fuck it down. Oh, so not necessarily Australian songs, but it's in Australia, is it?
No, they're all Australian songs.
It's Australian songs.
Yeah. Sorry, most popular Australian songs.
Yes.
The next one we have. Marsha?
Really?
Marsha Hines.
Marsha Hines.
Wow.
I saw her at the airport last week, me and Benny Elias, at Brisbane. She looks fantastic.
Is that rhyming slang for lines at the airport?
No.
Oh.
No. What?
No, because there's been big lines at the airport.
No, we saw her at the airport. She was holidaying.
A couple of Marsha Hines couldn't get onto the plane.
Oh, no, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
Might use that for something else. All right. The next one.
lovely.
Talking just as fast as I can.
I'll tell you what, we're battling in Australia.
I know. Number three. Four.
Kylie?
What's doing?
I know.
The Aussies have had a shocker. They want to be good.
Don't you reckon this is all around the 80s? So this must have been peak karaoke.
Yeah.
Here we go, Gibbo. Next. I know.
Unsubscribe. You started so strong.
I know. Well, this is because it was worldwide. Anyway, let's just finish. This is the second most populous Australian song requested in karaoke. It's Kylie again.
Oh.
How bad is it? But we fix all this.
Do we fix it?
We fix it.
Do we fix it?
With this number one.
Come on.
Number one. Where'd this one go, Gibbo?
Oh, this is Air Supply, is it?
Yeah.
I'm all out of love. Uh-huh. So lost without you.
And being what a pain.
You know what? This is one of the great underrated bands in Australia.
Yeah.
Air Supply.
But if you're going out there, now listen, there's 0457 736 736. If you're going out to karaoke, thank you, Mr. Inaway, are you requesting any of these songs?
No.
What are you requesting?
Air Supply, that's on my playlist. Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. Now, there was no Kirsty this week with the Beef, so we had an introduction for you, Brian, Ricardo Ball.
Well, he's a keeper, as our listeners would say.
He's a keeper.
And Beaver, well, he was just doing Beaver things, wasn't he? Take a listen.
But what they weren't doing, they weren't giving us anything, again, for Wacky Team Wednesday.
Yes.
We also caught up with the UFC fighter. He is the featherweight champion of the world, the great Alexander Volkanovski. Brian,
yes.
You have got a pair of, in fact, now you've got a $100 voucher.
Yes.
To give away thanks to the Fortune of War, where you can get the $29 roast beef on a Sunday. The beef's on this week.
The gravy. And go and see Speedy and say, Speedy, I want my free glass of Merlot.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is the team. At number one, Khloe Kardashian. At number two, Kourtney Kardashian. The center three quarters, Bernard Tomic and Greta Thunberg. The other winger you'll find is Kim Kardashian. Yes. No Penny Wong. The halves in the most punishing team. Tom Cruise and Eddie Maguire.
Oh.
The front row, Clive Palmer, the hooker, Rove McManus. The other front rower, Peter Fitzsimons. The back row consisting of David Koch, Greg Norman and Patrick Reed.
Oh.
Punish. The bench, Mark Howard.
Oh.
Don't know, we have got a lot of nominations. Olivia from MAFS, Steve Urkel.
Oh, yes. Oh.
And rounding out the 17 will be Clover Moore.
Oh.
She'll be...
Those bike lanes.
Yeah. And 18th woman is Renee Zellweger.
Why's Renee cop one? She's been dragged in with Tommy Cruise.
She's the pits.
That was a package deal.
And I tell you who'll be singing at the kickoff, Anthony Coletta. Coletti.
DJ Pawsoff. DJ Pawsoff. Hey, boys, how you going?
Good, Joe. Fletcher, how are we, mate?
Yeah, we're going good.
Brian, you had a topic yesterday, which our board, and it may do the same for you guys over there, we're asking our listeners what your favourite karaoke song is, and why were we doing that, Brian?
Well, yesterday was in 1971, a gentleman from Kobe in Japan, Inoue.
Yes.
Daisaku Inoue came up with the karaoke machine.
Yes.
Because he realised he was a musician, and I understand, Ricky, you're into your music as well, and he realised that when people were singing at his restaurant, they were the pits.
Yes.
So he came up and he changed the song and made it easier for people to sing in key or out of key.
Yes.
So that didn't sound, bad. So, gentlemen, I've done a little bit of research and this is...
No, let them guess. Try and guess one.
Okay. What is the most... Worldwide this is. Worldwide. What do you think, boys, is the number three most requested karaoke song in the world?
Just give us one in the top three.
It'll be something cheese. I'm going to go The Gambler.
Oh, no, you were close. No, Beave.
Living on a Prayer.
Ooh. No, hang on. I'm going to play you 3, 2, and 1. Gibbo, hit it. Number three.
Caroline, Bob, Bob. The time never feels so good.
All right,
so good.
All right.
So good.
Number I can't see the words.
Number two is this one, Gibbo. You're going to be the one. Yeah, number two. And, ladies and gentlemen, number one most requested karaoke song in the world. Dancing Queen. Okay. So there you have that. But Now, I've gone even further and gone to the
land. We played the Australian ones yesterday, and it was rank.
They were the pits.
Yeah.
So we've gone to the land of the long white cloud, and this is number three. It's Hidden Gibbo.
Yes.
Do you agree with that, boys?
How bizarre.
Yeah. Would you agree?
Is it a karaoke song?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Bizarre.
It is bizarre.
Have you got a nomination as to what you think the number one Kiwi song
No, we've got number two coming up.
Okay.
This is number two, gentlemen. Oh, that was good. This, by the way, boys, this is the karaoke version. If you noticed, it's not the original artiste. Number one. Any idea, boys? Number one.
I'm gonna say it's an exponent song.
I dare say it will be an exponent song, and it certainly won't be sung by the original artist. I feel there's a twist in this tale.
Okay, let's go. Number one most requested song, not only in karaoke, but on FM radio.
Oh, come on, you exponent.
It's been a month, Ricardo. I'm surprised it's only been a month.
Here we go. Let's just listen to this. I like this bit. Ooh. Here we go. Here we go. Beaver. It's awesome.
Mitchell, all I'll say is I've been to a lot of karaoke bars in Japan, but that one was certainly the highest paying one I've ever done.
Yes, touche.
Yeah, very good, V.
Yes,
you
touche.
Knew it was coming. You knew it was coming about six songs out.
He knew. Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. And on Thursday, we had Sock and we had M's. We had two Matthews and a Mark. It was a great day, Socky, wasn't it? Catching up with Matty Elliott came into the studio.
High performance, Matty Elliott. Beautiful chat with him.
Matthew John's always high performance when he comes on. And Mark Hughes, wasn't that great to chat with him?
Amazing. Raising a lot of money and selling a lot of beanies.
Absolutely, too. By the way, if you want to get involved with the beanies, you can go to the IGA's a way to do that. Mark Hughes Foundation. He'll say the same on the podcast, but have a listen to this. Say the great Boozy Hughes of the Mark Hughes Foundation. He started it and has become a partner with Uni of Newcastle for a $25 million centre for brain cancer research. It is some story. The Field of Dreams has come to this, and I'm pleased to say the main man's on the line. G'day, Hughesy.
G'day, Joel. How are you, mate?
Mate, you must pinch yourself, can you? $25 million centre for brain cancer research.
Yeah.
This has come from where you all started. How's that journey been?
It's been an amazing journey, mate, from being diagnosed with brain cancer in 2013 to starting the foundation in 2014. Would never have dreamt that we'd get this type of support, mate. The rugby league community, I guess they've spoken in some ways. They've just got right behind and they're showing that what greatness can come out of sport. And, you know, we've got this centre down in Newcastle, which is so exciting. Now, we're not building that. There's a space there ready to go. We're building a team in there. There's so much happening and we're very excited.
What's the big goal this weekend, Boozy?
So, we started out with 175,000 beanies. We want to try and sell those and that'd be hopefully around $3 million. Really proud to say that the response has been so good with the beanies over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it's building up all the time. So we're looking forward to people getting to the games, buying their beanies. So they might go to Lowe's or IGA venues to get them beforehand, and want to see as many beanies as we can in the crowd. It'll be unreal.
And how are you going, Mark? I know that you're probably having your up-to-date scans every sort of 3 to 4 months, but how are you going personally?
Yeah, going great, Steve. I do have scans every 4 weeks. So, you know, the battle continues. I feel very fit and all that stuff, but it is brain cancer and there's still, I've still got some hurdles, and I know that I've just got to keep myself fit and healthy, look after myself. I mean, I do get a bit busy at times with this, but it's just a commitment that, you know, my family and the foundation have made, knowing that it is hard work at times to get all this done, but it's worth it because we get this support and it's overwhelming. So I've got plenty of energy. I'll be at the footy tonight. I'll be at the footy Friday night, Penrith and the Roosters. So I'm looking forward to meeting people in Penrith tomorrow night as well.
When it's all said and done next week, you must be all terribly relieved it's all over. So much effort goes into the build-up, so much effort goes into the particular round, which is Beanie for Brain Cancer round. How relieved are you when you can just sit down, take the shoes off next week?
Yeah, it's a great feeling. I mean, like you say, we've got three or four part-time employees. We run on the hearts of volunteers. I'm 100% volunteer. Like, we don't waste money at all. It goes right into the right spots because we're just so desperate to find the answers, and I think people appreciate that. And our teamwork overtime, our volunteers work so hard. So I might, when it's all over in the next week or two, Joel, I had a nickname in my previous life of Boozy. I might go back to that.
Yeah, so you should. So you should. Well, mate, listen, you know what? We'll let you go because you have got so much in front of you. You've been so good. Is there any parting comments or anything we've missed that you'd love to give a shout out to?
Not really. Just that I'm just so grateful, and thank you. If you're in a position to buy a beanie, thank you for doing that. It is going to cure brain. It's doing our best effort to cure this brain cancer. So just know that we're all out there doing our best. And to those families and people with brain cancer, there's hope, and we can, you know, together we can get somewhere with this.
The great Matty Elliott. How are you, mate?
Oh, fantastic. Get to join you guys in this lovely space.
It's very intimate, mate.
Hey, Sock,
this bloke here,
he's won over there in the Super League. He's coached at three NRL clubs. Mm. But more importantly, he once donned, we've never had a guest in the studio who once donned the Torpedoes of St. George back in the day. Eh? Torpedo pads.
I've still got a pair of them. Yeah, we were supposed to get $150 a game for wearing those. I'm just waiting for that check to come. It'd be probably worth about $4 million by now.
You played in that grand final, 92 grand final. What are your memories of that?
Gee, you're hammering me straight away. Got straight on the front foot, brought up the torpedoes, and then what are my memories of that? Steve Renoff flying down
our
right side of the field, yeah.
How many did he get?
How many tries did he get? Too many. Yeah.
Did you believe, like big win over the Steelers, and our producer, Brooks, he loves them, 4-0. Well, what was that feeling? You've beaten them and you're off to the grand final.
Oh, it was a fantastic experience. And, like, all that aside, we probably overachieved as a team that year. But, it was a tough day. The grand final was a tough day. And I only ended up playing 15 minutes at the end of the game. And I got a lovely nickname from Roy and HG, who were calling that grand final. Yeah, they said that I'd been to the Legs Club on Friday night and won two cooked chooks in 15 minutes in the grand final. So they called me Raffles.
Raffles.
And that stuck for a bit, unfortunately.
When every coach retires or finishes up, they're never going to be happy. Most aren't. And that's just the way the game plays out. But 12 years when you started, you'd take that with open arms, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. You know,
that's just in the NRL. Then you throw in Super League, etc.
Yeah. It's been, going to work every day with a bunch of young people that want to get better is rare.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. And doing that for 1 year, one day is an honour and a gift. So to have the opportunity to do it for such an extended period, I learnt more off them than I could have ever taught them in a thousand years. So it's something that I'll be forever grateful for. I know that sounds a bit D&M, but, you know, honestly, people misunderstand what those environments are like.
Who are some of your favourite players? Not so much the best player that performed for you, but players that you felt you loved coaching them, you loved the influence they had on the better group?
Two names come to mind, Ruben Wiki and Petro Sivanisiva.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of other names I could throw in there, but those two guys in particular, they taught me to place the team first. And they didn't say it, they just did it.
Yeah.
And consistently did it. So, you know, the value that they placed on how important the group was just, yeah, so inspiring to be around.
Tell us what you're doing now. I know you're still involved in the Dragons, you've got your own business going on as well, but we have some reading material in front of us as well.
Yeah, the reading material's an interesting thing, Joel, and I guess, you know, you'll understand this as well. In the high performance, we call that high performance word, it's a bit of a trick word. It should be human performance, because if something works for an athlete, it's going to work for you, right?
Yep.
But if you're not sitting out on the cutting edge, you're probably not winning. You know, you've got to take a cutting edge approach, and a lot of people don't think they have access to that. And, you know, we've been talking about coaches that I've had contact with, but I've had a lot of contact with other high-level athletes and authors and people like that. And a lot of people don't feel like they've got the ability to do the things that those athletes do. And the truth is that's incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
It just needs to be made accessible to, you know, to the average person. So what I wanted to do was try and it's probably what I do reasonably well. If I have a gift, it's not really coming up with the ideas or the knowledge or the understanding of it. Is making it understandable to people.
Yes.
You know, so occasionally throw in the odd swear word and dumb it down. Not that's the wrong way.
Make it relatable.
Make it relatable. So I guess that's what I wanted to do was, so the book isn't really a story about me at all. The book's really a story about, you know, things that you can do that are really simple that you can make your life better.
If you had to sum up maybe two or three points that you could do on a daily or that you found were maybe things that these athletes all did that were the same that stood them out apart from everyone else, what would they be?
Let's go real simple. Mm. So we're all breathing right now,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
So you're doing it anyway.
Yeah. Hope so.
Exactly. Yeah. We got evidence that we are, right? Because if you stop doing it, so there's just a slightly better way of breathing.
Yes.
Right. We're all going to have a feed today at some stage, right? Yep. So there's a better way of doing that. And what I've, you know, and I could go on. I use eight foundations of how you think and how you feel and how you move and things like that. So, and how you connect with other people. We're doing it, right?
Yeah.
So all I've done is access experts in those areas and then try to give everyone access to it. So an understanding of how you can, you know, do those things a lot better.
Now joined by our mate from Morning Glory, Matty John's on the line. G'day, Matty.
How are you, lads?
What have you been doing, Matty? We had the week off. How'd you get to spend that?
Mate, I had a few days down at Hobart, which I duck down there occasionally. I love it down there. Mm. I like the cold, see, so I loved it, and Sock would have been there a lot. Went over to Bell Reef. Beautiful, mate.
Salamanca Bay.
Oh, Salamanca, just beautiful. And some of those little towns, Richmond, which is an old... See, it was funny. I went to Richmond, this really historic town. There's one old pub in there. I walk in there, and there's Justin Holbrook.
Oh.
So, yeah. Might have been drowning his sorrows. But he's there. He's an old teammate of mine. So I caught up with Titsy while he was down there. So, but, mate, I love it down there. And Dark Mofo was on down there. I didn't go to Dark Mofo, but there was some interesting types getting around.
Hang on a minute.
The Dark Mofos, I went this time last year, Matty, and you go in there, you got the food hall. You didn't go into the food hall in the centre there at Salamanca Bay. You go in there and you get, no? Didn't bother.
I didn't. Some of the sites in around there, Sock, by the time I sort of got down there, there were some people who, well, put it this way, they weren't playing 2020 cricket. It's like they were playing a five-day test match. They were flying.
Now, my spies tell me, because Sock come in, he was waxing lyrical about the fact that he's now seen Top Gun, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it was, we've spoken about that great film. But you've gone, have you gone one better or not?
Oh, look, Elvis, the Elvis movie, Baz Luhrmann, so I just loved it. It was so good. And it was like the old days of the cinema. We went Monday at 4 o'clock. So Monday at 4 o'clock, you expect, these days you've got the cinema to yourself.
Yeah.
Mate, there was a 50 or 60-metre lineup to get in at Warriewood to the box office. I said to my wife, I said, this is just like the old days of a big movie premiere almost. And it, honestly, a lot of the critics, here's the thing about it, right? So the critics were saying, some of the critics, the movie is typical Baz Luhrmann. It's a mess, impossible to follow. If you can't follow this movie, you don't know who Elvis Presley is and don't know about his life. It is fantastic. It is so well done. Austin Butler, who plays Elvis.
Cool,
mate,
dude.
Seriously. So cool. And Academy Award type performance. Wow. He's amazing in it. I just thought the movie was great, the whole thing.
Matty, did you catch any football over the weekend? You probably didn't, did you?
No, I did. I did catch it over the weekend. I thought it was fantastic. I really enjoyed the New Zealand versus Tonga game. And I'm going to talk about this tonight on the show, in the fact that the emergence of Tonga as a powerhouse nation rugby league has sort of overshadowed what a really good side New Zealand had.
Oh, yeah.
When you had a look on paper at New Zealand, you went, wow. You just sort of forgot about the Kiwis a little bit. Mm. And They were fantastic. Joey Manu was, mate, he was on fire. Jerome Hughes was brilliant. Brandon Smith, as per usual, always good. Tonga were good. Tonga, given the amount of ball the Kiwis had an opportunity, Tonga really defended well. 26-6, you know, sounds like it was pretty straightforward, but they really dug in. The only thing that cost Tonga was the fact that they just have inexperienced players in the creative positions. But it was really good, and, of course, the State of Origin was... State of Origin, brilliant as well. And 44-12, once again, you just go, oh, mate, it was all one-way traffic. But there was that defining period just before halftime where there was numerous six-agains called, a dodgy penalty, I reckon, against Val Holmes, and then Kafusi to the sin bin. That defined the contest because all they did during that period, Queensland, was just scramble and defend, and they were done.
I've got a bit of a theory, Matty, which I'd love your views on, relating to that calibration of Cleary you talk about. So he's lost five State of Origins, Cleary. Those five State of Origins, there were eight dummy half runs, 15, 10, 7, 12. So in other words, shitloads. Yep. You get Appy in the side. They only ran for four or five runs last game. Their big win before last year, 26-0, four dummy half runs. The 50-6 job, two dummy half runs. He needs to be in control. He just needs the dummy half to pass well, guide the team around, and he takes the reins. The dummy half running all day throws him out. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, because once you've got your foot in the door, right, the dummy half either feeds you the ball or he takes the space himself. And once the ruck really starts rolling, the sort of half, it's very easy to lose control of the set, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, you want momentum, but when it's just like, you know, Cook goes and someone else goes and someone else goes, it's very hard to, you know, pick up on the back of that, particularly on with Nathan. Is Oregon in some of those losses, if you watch how he'll play, he's sitting off the middle forwards. So you'll see Yeo and Trbojevic go up, look short, and Nathan is the second option sweeping around the back. Now, this is going to be the really tricky thing for Penrith, because for Nathan to play his best football, and I think for Penrith to go to the next level, and some people say if it's not break, don't change it, but you know, I just think this is an opportunity for Penrith to jump another level, is Nathan playing more flat and on the advantage line. Now, the thing's going to be with Penrith, they've got to work a way to not minimise Isaiah Yeo. What they've got two of the most intelligent players in the competition operating in the same space, and probably both of them playing the role that the other one plays best. Now, if they can work out a way to do that, mate, they'll be unstoppable.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. Don't forget, you can catch us any old time you like live, 3 to 6pm on SEN, however you listen to SEN. If you want to listen to us belatedly via the podcast, that goes up, the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. We appreciate that through Spotify or Apple, however you listen to your podcast. And if anything comes to mind, feel free to slide into our DMs, TikTok, Twitter, and also on Instagram. We welcome you there at Joel Fletch. SEN is the handle. In the meantime, enjoy whatever you're up to, and we'll catch you next time.